All right, thanks, Lauren. Thanks, Lauren. Thanks, Agnes, for playing some background music for us. I actually want to start off with a little funny joke, just to kind of settle us down, to just bring a smile. And I'm not going to do dad jokes this time, okay? I got some feedback from the dad jokes, and it wasn't good. So I actually have jokes, actual jokes, okay? So let me start off with this one. Prayer for hearing. Okay, this is what this is called. Prayer for hearing. After service, a stranger approached the pastor and said, "I'd like you to pray for my hearing." The pastor touched the man's ears and said a passionate, earnest prayer. "How's your hearing now?" the pastor asked. Surprised, the man said, "Well, it's not until tomorrow." Ida, she's like, "What? I don't get it." My wife had a hard time getting that one. Hearing, court hearing, okay? Okay. That was kind of on the same level as a dad joke. Okay, too soon for Sunday school, okay? During a Sunday school lesson, a child learned how God created human beings. The child became especially focused when the teacher explained how Eve was created from Adam's ribs. Later in the week, the boy's mother saw him lying on the floor and asked him what was wrong. His reply was priceless. "Mom, I have a pain in my side. I think I'm getting a wife." Little kids, right? They're so fun. They're so fun. The things they come up with. Bill Cosby made this whole thing about kids, right, and what they say. Well, today I am... It's been a short series, but I'm closing the series about renewing the mind. This is part three of this series. And it's like, to me, it's been this time, this season that the Lord has been taking me through of just amazing revelation, amazing breakthroughs. And I'm so glad that I'm able to share a little bit of that with you. Now, for you, I'm going to start off with this question. Have you ever felt frustrated with your spiritual life? I know I have. There are times I'm spending time with the Lord in the morning, and I'm reading the Bible, and it's like, wow, this is so good. And I'm spending time praying and coming before the Lord. And then even times of worship, right? Just songs come and playing songs on my phone and just listening and just, oh, God, I worship you. I worship you. I love you, God. I love you. I love you. And then I continue on through the day. And as I go through the day, it's like I almost, like, it's like I didn't have that time in the morning with him. There are times I'm just going through it and making decisions or making choices or the way I treat people or just different things. And I just go, man, did I even have that time with the Lord in the morning? Because it seems like my life is so different than what I was experiencing that morning. Have you guys ever felt that? Yeah, that frustration, that disappointment, that almost that sense of defeat again because what happened in the morning and what's going on now is like a disconnect between what was happening. And so I've been just kind of like processing with the Lord, what is that, what is that? And he never answered me directly, but he's showing me that as he continues to rework my mind in the way I see things, in the way I see him, in the way I see the world, in the way I see the challenges in my life, as he changes that, then it's like, oh, I'm starting to see how the Bible and the truths and what he says fits in this situation. And it's not a matter of, oh, I've gone through the whole day, then I look back and I go, oh, I should have done this, I should have done this, I should have done. But there are those times, but there are also times when in the moment, he goes, you have a choice. What are you going to choose? You can go with your old habits. You can go with your old way of thinking. But you have an opportunity now to choose something different. And as he speaks to me, it's like it's because of the renewed mind that I'm able to even see the choices. Right? Marcy's agreeing. Yes. Because without that renewed mind, without that breaking of the world, we're all born into this world, right? And we've all heard the wisdom of this world and how things operate and how things work. And the Lord is like, okay, that's not the way I operate. That's not the way my kingdom operates. And I want you to see things differently. And that's what this whole thing about this series that we're going through, and that's why it's so hard. And that's why some things are so foreign, is because it's like, I never saw the things in that same way. You know, my family and I, we've been going to Ohana Barbecue, Hawaiian Barbecue. And it's right down, where's Clark? Is this Clark? This is Clark. So right down there. And, you know, we've gone a few times, but I remember recently, this is a few months ago, we went in, and there's not too many people there, and I saw the lady behind the cashier, the cash register, and my first judgment was, ooh, she looks a little bit prickly. And so it's kind of like a stern face, you know, kind of like, ooh, okay, I think it's going to be one of those where you just place your order, you make sure you get it right, because yeah, I'm not sure how it's going to work out. So we start talking to her, and at the beginning, she's kind of like that, little, very stern and very, you know, business. But as we started talking to her and just started to ask questions just about, you know, how things going, how's the business going, she really warmed up. She really warmed up. And so as she's taking our order, she's like, oh, so which one do you, oh, okay, I'll get the Hawaiian mix, the barbecue mix or whatever. And then she goes, do you want drinks? Yeah, we'll take some drinks. Hey, don't worry, I got this. And she just gave us the drinks. And we're like, wow, that's really cool. So I go, oh, by the way, what's your name? She's, oh, Pamela. Oh, I'm Ross. Hi, nice to meet you. Big old smile on her face and stuff. And so she's like, thank you for coming in. So we you're welcome, you're welcome. So we eat our lunch. And then my kids are like, hey, they sell shave ice. Let's get some shave ice. So she's like, so they go up to her, Pamela. And they, oh, can we get some shave ice? And, oh, yeah, sure, sure. She makes it for them free of charge. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, we're like, wow, this lady is awesome. So I don't know if you remember when Walter Chu came and he spoke. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to take their family out to lunch. So we went to Ohana Barbecue, Hawaiian Barbecue. Same thing. We go in there, and then she sees us, and she's smiling now. And she's like, oh, you know, how you doing? God, thanks for coming in and stuff. Walter and his sons give her a word. They're speaking into her, and she's like receiving it. She's not a Christian, but she received it. And again, same thing. Oh, here, how many people in your family, in your group? Oh, there's 10 of you? Okay, 10 drinks, free. And we want shave ice? Free shave ice. And she's not even the owner. So that's why I'm like, okay, you're not getting in trouble, right? Yeah, I don't want you to get in trouble. She's like, no, it's okay. It's cool. I got you covered. So we've been going. Not, of course, not every Sunday, because I get kind of tired of Hawaiian barbecue. But we've been going, like, maybe at least once a month. And every time we go in, she's like, hey, how's it going? Good to see you. Thanks for coming in. Hang out. Do whatever. So sometimes the lunch bunch joins us. The whole group. Free drinks. Bob, you got the free shave ice last time, right? And so I spoke into her. I just said, you know, Pamela, I just really love the way you treat the customers. You're just like a mom. You're taking care of us. And people come in, and they really enjoy the atmosphere of this restaurant. And she's like, wow, thank you so much for that, you know? So I feel like my job is just is to plant seeds, is to just continue to interact with her, just wait for opportunities, whatever the Lord gives me, to just, at any, whatever moment, what any, whenever that moment comes, to share with her about Jesus. But it's just to keep planting seeds, keep developing relationships. And, you know, the food there, you know, it's good. But more importantly to me, it's, can we go there and make an impact on someone? And so we give big tips. We give her, and I think she really appreciates that as well, for her kitchen staff and everything. But that's what the renewed mind does. The renewed mind starts to think a little bit differently and goes, okay, I can't always judge with what I see. Let me interact. Let me find the gold that God has deposited in this person. And so that's what we've been finding, and that's what we've been seeing. And it's, I tell you, it's fun. It is a lot of fun. Okay, so for today, what I want to do is share two examples from the Gospels where Jesus is demonstrating the kingdom, and in the same place, we see the worldly kingdom in action. And we get to see the two things happening in the same place, so it's easy to compare and contrast. Okay? So the first one, let me get a drink of water first. The first one is called, I call it the peace of the kingdom. The peace of the kingdom. Romans 14:17 says this, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay? So peace is a part of the kingdom. It's a characteristic of the kingdom of God. Okay, there's a lot of things that Paul could put up there, but righteousness, peace, and joy. And in this section of the Gospels, we will see that peace. And it's a passage that I've spoken on before, other people have spoken on before. So it's going to be a very familiar passage. But let's turn to Mark 4, verse 35 through 40. Okay, this is the part. Does anybody have their Bible? All right, okay. That's good. And of course, we have it up here too, so we can just look at it together. This is the passage where Jesus falls asleep in the boat. Okay, and you're like, oh, I've heard that before. Yeah, we're going to see something a little bit different. Okay, Mark 4. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Okay, in this boat, you guys know the story. In this boat, we see Jesus and we see the disciples. Okay, they're going through this crazy storm. Right, and we know that some of the disciples had the background to know how to navigate crazy storms, okay? But obviously, this storm was so big that even for them, they couldn't handle it. And so what happens? They go through this process of panicking, of being filled with fear and worry and anxiousness and going, I think we're going to die. And so they're going through this process of trying everything that they can do, using all of their smarts and their ideas and all these things, and they've come to the end of themselves when they said, okay, somebody go wake up Jesus, because without him, we're going to die. Okay? So there's this panic that's happening on the one hand. On the other hand, Jesus is asleep. Okay, I've watched videos, and I think I even showed you guys a video. It was the one time when the audio was out, so I had to commentate for that. So I don't know if you remember that time. But it was a crazy storm, and water was coming in, and it's almost kind of humorous and comedic when you watch it, and Jesus is, you know, whoever's playing Jesus is in there, and there's water splashing him on the face and stuff, and it's like, how could he sleep? But the Bible says he was asleep. Not partially asleep, he was asleep. So we see these two worlds coming into conflict with each other. And Jesus says to his, after he woke up, after he calmed the storm, he says, why are you guys so afraid? Now, from the world's point of view, this reaction makes sense, right? When you're on the Titanic and it's going down, you should be freaking out. That is a normal way to respond to crisis, right? When you are dealing with health issues, when you're dealing with these, when death, and when you get bad news and these things happen at work and whatever, that's the way you should respond to that. You should freak out. You should be fearful. You should go into survival mode to make sure you live. Right? That's what the world says. Jesus is trying to teach us a different way. He says, no. When you're in the midst of a storm, you stay focused on me. You stay focused on my kingdom. Because my kingdom, like that previous, it's peace in the kingdom of God. So you don't have to freak out. You don't have to get all anxious and get all desperate. Because, you know, when we're desperate and we're fearful, we make the worst decisions. That's what all the TV shows, the dramas and stuff, it's a lot of it is based upon people going through drama and making bad decisions. That's what makes it entertaining. But we don't want to live like a drama. We want to live with peace. And so we need to, when we're in those situations, go, I choose this way. I choose the sleeping in the boat way. The peace-filled life. The mind that is settled. The mind that isn't freaking out. That's the way we want to live. I actually have a picture. I hope this works. Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, you see Jesus sleeping while everybody else is freaking out. Okay? I want you to burn this in your mind to say, this is the way I want to live. Okay? When I'm going through crisis, when I'm going through hardships, that I'm going to have, not that you're being asleep, you know, at work, and, oh, okay, well, oh, my gosh, is the company going under? Is it going bankrupt? Okay, I'm going to take a nap. No, I'm not saying that. It's the whole thing about peace in the midst of crisis. It's having that peace in the midst of troubled times. You know, we've been throwing out this whole thing about we're going to be a city on a hill. Right? You are the light of the world, and we're going to be a city on a hill. This is how you be the city on the hill. This is not the city on the hill. This is just like everything else. This is like the people living in the darkness. This is the light of the world. And people see that and go, why aren't you freaking out? Because our jobs may be gone. I have one that's watching over me. I'm seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I know that he knows what's going on in my life, and he's going to provide everything that I need. That's the mentality that we need to have. You know, as I was putting together this message, it's amazing how God speaks. And the whole concept of reacting versus responding came to mind. Let me give you a definition. And it sounds like the same thing. Responding, reacting, responding. What's the difference? There's a difference. Reaction. A reaction is typically quick and emotional, driven by our immediate feelings and less by thoughtful consideration. It's often automatic, immediate, and emotional, and can be influenced by our past experiences and subconscious. Reactions can also lead to unintended and sometimes negative consequences. For example, if someone says something that upsets us, we might snap back quickly without really thinking about it, making the problem worse. Right? That's a reaction. That's what a reaction is. By contrast, a response is more thoughtful, deliberate, and rooted in higher levels of emotional intelligence. It involves analyzing the situation and then considering what we're feeling and why we're feeling it. Responding involves considering the possible outcomes and choosing a course of action that's aligned with our goals. Okay? So reacting is just like that primal action where you just, someone says something to you. Someone says something negative about you. I just want to fight back. I just want to react to that situation. Okay? It's that primal instinct. But responding is someone says something to you and you go, okay, hold on a second. Is that really true of me? Is that really true of how I work or how I treat other people? Is that really true of what God says about me? Is that really true about what's happening? And then if I do this, what's going to happen? If I say this, what's going to happen? Is it going to be make it better or worse? Right? And so it's this thing where we want to, the kingdom lifestyle is responding. We want to respond to the world, to the people, to the challenges, to the conflicts. We don't want to react, which is, I think, I know for me, it's something that's, I had to learn. And especially when you have kids, you have to learn how to control yourself first and then teach your kids about, hey, we don't want to do this. We want to do this. How to respond. How to respond in those situations. Now, I'm not saying, okay, let's, you know, in order to respond, you have to go to this quiet place and you have to sit there for a little bit and have like a prayer meeting or read your Bible or something. I think there are times where it's like you gotta give some kind of response. But it's like the more and more our minds are renewed, the quicker we come, oh, what does the Bible say about that? Oh, it says this. Oh, it says this. Okay. So this is God's heart. The more intimate we are with God, this is God's heart for people. So I know this. Okay, then we can respond. The verse that came to mind as I was doing this is Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. And it's in that moment when you have a chance to say something, it's good for us to kind of be still for a second and go, okay, know that He is God. What does God think about this situation? What does God think about this person? And then respond. Okay? That's all part of the renewed mind, the changing of the mind, breaking those habits that get us in trouble at times. Saying, God, no, I'm going to respond differently than just reacting. You know, when Jackson was, we had just gotten him. He must have been about 4 years old. Ida went to Bethel in Redding, California, for a children's ministry conference. And so I was here, it was just me and him. And we had another friend who had adopted from China as well. So I'm like, hey, as the dads of the two boys, let's go out. So on a Saturday, we went to the Long Beach Aquarium, the Pacific Long Beach Aquarium. And so we went there, and we looked at some stuff, and we're like, oh, let's have lunch. So we went to that scuba cafe, we had lunch. And then when we finished, we're like, okay, let's look around some more. So Jackson, I think he was about four, when we were leaving, he took off. He started running. So then I was like, oh, man. So I just quickly turned back to my friend, and I said, I'm going to go get him. I'll be right back. I turned back. He was gone. Gone. And, you know, it's crowded. On the Saturday, on the weekends, the Long Beach Aquarium is full. Oh, I forgot to tell you. It was also Asian Heritage Day that weekend. So when I turned back, it's a sea of black heads all about the same height. And I was just like, it's like if I lost Jackson in China. Where it's like, oh, my God, are you him? Are you going to all the different kids? And I started freaking out. I was like, oh my gosh, we just got him. And so I'm just in my mind, what if this? What if this? What if this? What if this? And I'm going, you're going to have to tell Ida. You know, oh my gosh, she's in Bethel. She's at Reading. I'm going to have to, I think Larissa was in the car when she got the text. I lost our kid, the Long Beach Aquarium. And so I was just like, oh my gosh, we're going to have to go back to China and get another one. You know, I'm just having all these crazy thoughts, right? Like, oh. And so I was just, you know, okay, I told my friend, okay, you stay up here, you look up here, I'll look down the first floor, and then we'll just keep in contact with texting and stuff. And watch your kid, okay? Make sure your kid doesn't take off. So I'm walking around, I'm going frantic, and then the Lord spoke to me. And he said, do you remember what Pastor Sam shared? And I was like, oh, Pastor Sam, he talks a lot. So he shared a lot of things. So what thing? He goes, remember when he would go on those walks and he would let me direct him? And I go, oh, yeah, yeah. So the Lord says, take a right here. So he would take a right or left or whatever. I want you to do the same thing in this situation. So I'm like, okay. So I'm going. And as I'm walking and whatever thing he would tell me, I could feel his peace come over me because I knew he was right there with me. It wasn't like God was just so far away. He was right there saying, go here. So I searched for about half an hour. Yeah, half an hour. And I was like, really? Should I be telling somebody? And he goes, go here. And finally, I get a text. My friend's like, he's at the gift shop on the top floor. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I went up there, and the Lord again spoke to me, said, don't scold him. Don't remind him of all the things that you said to him, even before, when he got out of the car. It's like, if you walk away, we're going to go home. Just welcome him. Just receive him. And so when I went up there, I don't think he's playing with the thing. And I go, Jackson. And he saw me. And then I think for an instant, it was kind of like, oh, I think I did something wrong. And then I just held my arms out. I got down on a knee and just held my arms out. And he just came running to me. And we just embraced. And I just told him I loved him. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I'm glad God was watching over you. It's in those moments when we can, like the world says, you should be freaking out. You should be getting all these people and starting a search party or, you know, whatever. You should be doing this. But the kingdom of God, the king says, I'm with you. I'm with you in this. And I will provide you whatever you need. And right now, you need peace. Because if not, you're going to make some crazy decisions right now. I'm choosing that. I'm choosing Jesus sleeping in the boat. I'm choosing the peace. Peace of the kingdom. Now, the second one is the resources of the kingdom. The resources of the kingdom. How many times have you been in situations where you're like, I don't have enough? Whether it's finances, whether it's time, whether it's energy, whether it's ideas, whether it's whatever. I think we've all been in that place where we feel like we just don't have enough. You know, I know for me, a lot of times it's ministry oriented. You know, you've seen me up here sometimes. I'm wow, he's up there all by himself playing the guitar, singing a song. And it's like, yeah, I don't have enough resources. I don't have enough people are out of town or whatever. I can choose to ask someone from another team, but it's like, yeah, no, don't do that. So there are times when I'm up here by myself playing and singing, and or maybe it's just two of us or whatever, and it's hard. It's hard to operate in that way at times. But let's see how Jesus reacted or how he dealt with apparent lack of resources. So Mark 6, verse 34 to 44. This is when Jesus feeds the 5,000, okay? 5,000. Feeding the 5,000. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. Wow. They said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Okay, that's just the men. So with the women and kids, easily could have been 10,000 plus. Okay, but really, I guess it doesn't really matter. 5,000 is enough to see this miracle. So again, we're looking at another situation where you see the two kingdoms in operation. You see Jesus who tells his disciples, you feed them. And his disciples hearing that command and going, are you crazy? How are we supposed to feed that many people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? If it was up to them, they probably would have said, okay, well, we'll feed them. So gather 12, maybe 10 or 12 other people, and we'll divide up the fish and the bread between them. And that's what we can do. But Jesus is challenging them to change the way they see the situation. He's challenging them to see something different. Okay? One thing that I thought was so awesome, he divided, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and gave thanks. He gave thanks in the midst of apparent scarcity. How many times do we do that? Where we say, okay, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough people. I don't have enough ideas. And we go, okay, I give you thanks, Father, for these gifts or for this money or for this, even though it's way not enough, I give you thanks for that. I've never done that. I've never, never done that. I think I will now. But to look at a situation from a different perspective and to say, in the midst of the lack, I can still give thanks and praise and rejoice in this. That's what Jesus is calling us to. Instead of operating out of what we don't have, he's saying, operate from what the King has. Let's operate out of that because he has all the resources. He has everything that we could ever need. Let's operate from that point of view instead of what we see we don't have. You know, Bill Johnson has this quote. He says, you know, we have learned and we know that we are not supposed, or that it's not good to operate without God. Okay, we know that. Like to do things without God, without consulting him, without going to him. We know that. It's good. It's not good to operate without God. Then he says, but we haven't learned how to operate with him. So we know that, okay, yeah, I'm not going to do ministry without God. I'm going to incorporate him. But how many times have we stepped into what he's calling us to, stepped into our identity as sons and daughters, and said, I believe him for this. This is what he's going to do. How many promises has he given us that I'm going to provide everything you need? Yeah, but you know what? This seems too hard. This seems too much. 5,000 people, you can't do that. So I'm going to have to figure something else out. instead of us going, hey, God, I know you're calling me to this. I know you're trying to do this. You're doing this in my life. And so, God, I'm going to step into it. Even though it doesn't make sense, even though I don't see it, I'm still going to give you praise and thanks for the little bit that I have because I know you can multiply this. You can bring it into fruition, into what you want to do. If you call me into something, you are not going to leave me resourceless. You are going to provide everything I need to step into that. And that's what he's doing. That's what he's trying to show us. That's what he's trying to go. Shift your mindset. Shift the way you think. Because my kingdom is so different than the world that you've been brought up in. Change, change, change the way you see things. Change. Declare. Declare my promises. Not that he's forgotten, but to remind ourselves. This is who we are. You see these verses that, remember your people. You know, in one of the songs, we talk about that. We sing that. Oh, remember your people, remember. Does God need reminding? I feel like it's more for us that he remembers us, that he's not forgotten or forsaken us. Declaring it. This is who you are. This is what you called me to. So I'm going to go. He doesn't want us to operate as orphans. Because that's what orphans do. Orphans, people with the orphan mindset, they're always looking at what I don't have. What don't I have? What don't I have? Look how little I have. I need to get more. I need to get more. I need to get more. Children of God, children that have a father who has all the resources, they just go, well, okay, yeah, maybe I might not. Okay, Papa, can you give me some more? I need this. I need that. And the Lord wants to hear that from his kids. Lord, I need more. Lord, I need more. To not operate as orphans, but to operate as children. You know, one of my friends, I have a friend who's in the medical field, and he has his own clinic. And he's been going on these different journeys, different assignments. And just recently, a few weeks ago, so he has his own clinic, and he told me, the Lord's just this year, 2024, he's been traveling so much because the Lord has been calling him to different places. And it's not like, oh, I'm going to go for this medical training or, whatever. It's like, okay, go to this area and then release this. Go to this area, release this. Go to this area, release this. And he's been traveling so much. And he goes, I've spent thousands of dollars on plane fare and hotels and just, wherever he needs to go. He's just spent so much money going to those places and just being obedient to the Lord. And he said, you know what? I've made more money this year than the past 2 and 3 years. I'm at my clinic less often, and I'm making more money. Does that make sense? And I told him, well, you must have really good staff because they're bringing in all the money. But it's like, that's the way the Lord works. When we trust and we follow and our minds are changed, when it's like, okay, God, you're doing stuff. I'm obeying you. I'm following you. This is what happens. The Lord brings his favor and his blessings upon us. And the guy was like, yeah, I don't know. God's doing it. And I go, man, that is so amazing. That's such an amazing story. Psalm 34, 8 through 10 says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. We follow him. We trust in him. We will lack no good thing because he's there for us. I choose to, like, Lord, let's just feed the 5,000. Man, God, whatever you're calling us to, let's do it, because you're going to bring the resources in order to do this. Okay, for the last, for some application steps, I have a few things. First one is we got to understand that God brings his revelation. Okay, in order to have the renewed mind, it's not about us going, okay, I'm going to have a renewed mind. I'm going to change the way I'm thinking. That's the power of positive thinking, and that's not what I'm talking about. God needs to bring his revelation, that when we're reading the Bible or when we're seeing something happen or when we're experiencing God, we go, oh my gosh, is that what the kingdom is like? Is that what this means? And it's him bringing his ideas, bringing his perspective to us, where we go, oh, that's different. That's different. And he must be the one that originates and brings those ideas and those thoughts. Okay? So understand that God must bring his revelation. Number two, we understand that we need to understand it's a lifelong process. It's not just something that happens and we go, okay, my mind is totally renewed and I've gotten everything. No, it's a lifelong process of changing, of breaking habits, changing the way we see things. It's going to take time. Okay, it's going to take time. It's a lifelong process, and we'll probably never, ever be fully renewed in the way we think. Number three, understand that it is training. Okay, it's not necessarily fun to go through this process, because a lot of times it's like, oh, what I'm doing, you don't like that. Okay, why am I doing that thing? And he brings his revelation into that, like, oh, there's some hurts or there's some things that I'm going through. There's this training that we go through. There's this training. There's this process that we have to go through. And it's, at times, it's not fun. And that's what leads to number four. Understand that it will not be always, it will not be comfortable. And I know for me, I've made comfortability one of my highest values in life. I want to be comfortable in what I'm doing. And the Lord, going through this process, there are times when he goes, I want you to go pray for that person in Chick-fil-A. Are you serious? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. So he's with his family. He's eating. He's doing all this stuff. And you want me to go right up there? There are times when it's not comfortable. There are other times when it just give the person an extra $20 or, you know, whatever. And for me, I go, oh, I'd rather do that than give. There are times it's easier to do that than to. But he says, this is what I want you to step out in faith and do this. And at times, it's not comfortable. But we can't make how comfortable I feel with this the deciding factor of what we're, are we going to obey or not. It's okay. And a lot of times, it's like, I'm not even sure. Is that you, God? Is that what you're saying? And it's like, you know what? It might be. There's a chance it might be. I might as well step out and try it and do it. And so, yeah, there are times when it's not comfortable. Let me close with this. Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Let me stop there. That's a part of renewing the mind, is to start going, okay, God, what is it that you're doing? What is it that I can see about you? What is it that is noble? What is right? What is pure? What is true? Whatever is lovely, admirable. I've got to start setting my mind on those things instead of some other trash that maybe I may be thinking about, let me start setting my mind on these things. And Lord, you speak through them to teach me to start changing my mindset so that I hear your voice quicker and quicker and quicker. And I could see with your eyes faster and faster and faster. Okay? So it's good to know about all these things. But I love this, verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, this is Paul, or heard from me or seen in me, put it in practice. And the God of peace will be with you. It's not just enough to know these things, but we got to step out. We got to step out in faith. And we got to go, okay, God, in faith, I'm trusting that this is what you want me to do. I'm trusting that this is where you're leading. I'm trusting that you want this person to know this. I'm trusting that. I'm trusting you. It's not enough to just know and to sit on our hands. But it's for us to say, God, this is what you're saying. This is what you're doing. I'm going to step out in faith. We got to put into action. And I know that as we do this, as our church family does this, we're going to hear and see more and more testimonies of God working in our lives. All right? Okay. Let me pray. Worship team, you can come on up. God, thank you for our time together this morning. Time to hear your word, time to just listen for your voice through all the jabbering, through all my jabbering, God. I pray that people are hearing your voice and seeing your and feeling your touch on them. I pray that people are being convicted of things that you are bringing up. I pray that there's a sense of repentance in the form of, I need to change what I'm doing. I need to change my ways. I need to change my thinking. I pray that there is all of that going on, Lord, and that you are meeting each and every single one of us in that place. And Lord, I know that you are not who brings condemnation. You are not a God who just points your finger at us and who scowls at us and is angry with us. But you are a God who is just full of love and grace and mercy, and yet a God who deserves to be feared, to be respected, to be honored, and that what you say, we need to listen to, because you are Lord and you are King. And so, God, as you minister to us today, and not just in this place, but wherever we go, Lord, I pray that we would be receptive to your voice, receptive to the ways you are leading, and that we could say to you, yeah, yes, God, I choose your way. I choose the Jesus way of living and responding to all these things in my life. I choose the Jesus way. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just renew our minds. Renew our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.